two goats walk into a desert. They run into Jesus and they say, "You're the goat. Greatest of all time." Goat.
Hey, that's like that's really good stuff.
I found my way. I was in the dark against it all, but made it through the day. 'Cause I found my way. I found my way. In bad times, I know I'll be okay. 'Cause I found my way.
Hello, and welcome to an introduction of the Engedi Collective. My name is Rebecca Fanning, and I am thrilled today to be able to talk to some of the founders. With us, we have Elizabeth Ager, John Kovacs, and David Mueller. And they are going to introduce themselves to you. And we are just, again, thrilled to be able to chat with you guys today.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Excited to talk with you. As Rebecca mentioned, my name is Elizabeth Ager. I currently work as a physical therapist in Baltimore, Maryland. And so working with kind of restoring people's ability to interact with their world through movement the way that they're hoping and wanting to. And movement has always been a passion of mine. So prior to physical therapy, I was a professional dancer and did a lot of Christian ministry through the platform of Dance in the Arts. And so very excited and kind of experienced and passionate about the way that movement impacts our ability to interact with our world and the people around us. And I'll pass it off to our next intro.
Hi there. My name is John Kovacs, and I'm currently working in e-commerce finance, helping broker businesses. And that is a wonderfully untethered job. So I recently moved after traveling a bunch, and I'm now back in my homeland of Louisiana. And I have too many hobbies, as my wife has told me recently. But I like to have fun and eat delicious food. I guess that's actually one of my hobbies, eating delicious food. And I also just really love to see people grow into who they're meant to be and discover their, I guess, alignment of gifts and calling and passions. And that's why I'm here, part of Engedi.
And I'm David Mueller. I work as a physical therapist as well at Johns Hopkins. It will be 9 years this summer. And that is also when I moved down to Baltimore. And I'd say one of the things that I really enjoy is discipling and mentoring, which is kind of how I got involved in this. And I love TV and movies and just any really good story. So you can always ask me what I'm watching and it'll probably be something new and different. And I also really enjoy just reading anything on theology, the Enneagram, personality, how we think and work and do things. So yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys. Like I said, I am so excited to be here and just talk to you guys a little bit about what you've been up to, and really just what the Engedi Collective is. I did just want to give a little bit of background for our listeners today. So Elizabeth and John and David and myself, we're all a part of the Light Church that was established in Baltimore, Maryland, by John Kovacs and his wife, Maria. And we were just all, I think I speak for all of us when I say we were just so incredibly blessed and thankful to have this really unique, we think, just church family that really was a family that was established in downtown Baltimore City, and just an incredible group of creative people, students, young families that just really, I don't know, it was just something we felt like was really special in so many ways, and just such a beautiful reflection of the church in action in Baltimore. And so in pandemic times, it really became clear, and God in a really beautiful way kind of brought a close to that church in a way that really felt more like God just planting seeds as we all kind of went out to go and do what God had called each of us individually to do. But it was in the midst of some unprecedented times. And so I'd love to hear from each of you guys, maybe starting with John, of just kind of how the origin of this collective came to be. We'll talk a little bit more about what it is in a minute, but just kind of how it came, to be.
Yeah, sure. I'm trying my best to not get ahead of ourselves and the questions and all of that. I guess origin, we had a church in Baltimore, as you mentioned, and that I'd say, I didn't realize this was unique, but we were really passionate about what Ephesians 4 describes as the equipping of the saints for the ministry. And, you know, that's kind of a fancy way to say, like, preparing all of God's people to play a significant part in what God wants to do on the earth through his church, which is his, not only his bride, but also referred to in Ephesians 4 as his body. I'd say that was kind of a cornerstone of what we, of how we made our impact as a church community in Baltimore. And, you know, we saw so many young people kind of pass through for a season and be a part of that church, and then go out on purpose, you know, to continue in whatever, for many of them, what brought them to Baltimore in the first place. And it turned into actually a really fulfilling, not without its challenges, but a fulfilling thing for us to be able to do, which was to, you know, cherish this time that we had, not take it for granted, really focus in and really try to give opportunities for individuals to, you know, to flourish and to grow and learn who they are in God. And when the Light came to a close, I think it was during that time that God really showed me that was such a key part of our legacy, now that the Light was ending, and that thread was meant to continue, albeit in a different context. And so I think he just helped me realize that there was a chance to reimagining what it looked like to really continue to equip people to be, you know, who God created them to be, and to live out their calling in the world. And so, it was going to have to look different because of things like COVID, but it was already, I think, meant to look different. And so we just started to dream about what that could look like. And, you know, so many people had spread all over the place. And I think it kind of created an opportunity where we realized, oh, this is actually something that we are supposed to do remotely. And, you know, and so here we are talking over the internet about Engedi.
The initial thought for this came back in 2019, which is kind of crazy, but along the lines of what John was saying about how we had sent out so many people who were doing incredible things, and thinking as well as with the people who were still within the church who were stepping into their calling, the idea initially came as far as the wealth of spiritual maturity when it came to discovering purpose and calling that these people had. And so the thought was coming to mind of how great it would be for this knowledge and these people to kind of be shared like to the world with other people who may need encouragement or mentoring. And I remember sharing that with John back then. And as we were talking, one of the things that hadn't really like crossed my mind was John mentioning how a lot of people, as they moved into new communities, were not finding kind of the same like encouragement, support, and that they had when they were at the Light or in Baltimore, and just maybe it was a difficult transition to move into a new place. And so on one hand, there was this idea of recognizing what people had, but then also recognizing a need that they had to just be ministered to. And so throughout 2019, we were kind of occasionally meeting, talking about this. Like, we knew that we wanted to create a network with these people, but hadn't necessarily fleshed a ton of it out. And we started doing that more in 2020. Before COVID, we started having meetings. Rebecca, you were at some of those. And then all of a sudden, the pandemic begins, and we hear the Lord just talking about the Light coming to a close and us moving in different directions. And all of a sudden, this online network just seems to have a whole lot more applicability. we kickstarted it in May or June, kind of just reaching out to anyone who was part of the church if they would want to connect, under the intention of growing as leaders and where they were and just being ministered to. And so that kind of went through the first year, and definitely met a huge need for those people at the time, just especially in the beginning of the pandemic, where community was disrupted, to just connect with people that they were familiar with, some new faces, because it was different phases of people at the Light from different eras. And we did that for about a year. And since then, have just kind of been thinking about what we truly want this to be, which is now Engedi.
I think what attracted my attention to this project, because I was relatively latecomer, so only kind of joined the church community in the middle of 2019. But before that, I had moved every 1 to 3 years for quite a while and was changing communities regularly. And there was something unique about the culture that the Light Church had built that I thought was worth preserving, or if possible, or translating into a new look or a new format as we moved away from being a church to being a parachurch organization. And I think a lot of my experience and my convictions just, again, kind of intrigued me about the potential of an online community to help support people looking for clarity and for support as they grew. you know, with that motivation, kind of decided we would go for it and see what happens.
I would love to hear a little bit from each of you just about what Engedi means and why that is meaningful to the idea of the Engedi Collective.
Sure. Engedi is a oasis that's mentioned in the Bible, I think a total of 2 times. We could have a fact check on that. And it was where David was when he was fleeing from Saul in the Old Testament.
It is, you know, a geographical location that I think is really rich with metaphor. And I think the word actually means spring of the wild goat. There you go. It was one of only a few places to the west of the Dead Sea that you could actually find drinking water. And so if you just think about that, this idea of being in a barren land, but finding, right, kind of like the scene where, you know, someone stumbles across what might be a mirage, but hopefully isn't. But the like middle of the desert oasis with the pond and the palm trees. And just that idea of like being able to find refuge and refreshment in a barren place. I think is just really fitting for what we're aiming for and getting to be. And, you know, in that way, it was just really this whole endeavor was really birthed out of wanting to bring people together who were really longing for and looking for something that was missing in maybe most of the spaces that we're in, that even church communities. And so, you know, we're not a church, we are a parachurch community, and we love the church. Most of us have spent a ton of time serving in roles in the church, myself included, as a pastor for 8 years. But, you know, being in that place, realizing that a lot of things, great things are happening in those settings, but there's something around the area of calling and purpose and really focusing on propelling people forward in those things that was often missing. And so I think Engedi is about that, among other things. So
absolutely. Elizabeth, do you have anything?
Yeah, I definitely have my own perspective on the name. Kind of two part, I have my own personal experience and then what I gleaned from the Bible about this word here. When I guess in over 10 years ago, I was able to go to Israel on a ministry trip, and we went through the desert. And I remember sitting, like, thankfully we were in an air-conditioned van, not walking on foot like the Bible times. But I remember just driving for what felt like hours through this like bleak red rock and just kind of cliffs and sand everywhere, and the only water in sight was literally dead, the Dead Sea. And the van just pulled over on the side of the road in the middle of this dust in this bleak desert. And they're like, all right, here we are in Engedi, like, get out and go take a look. And so out we all climb, and there's this little crack in the cliff, and you could see this hint of green in the middle of the desert. I was like, oh, this is unexpected and so startling because of the surroundings. So I started walking along this little trail, and there's this little dribble of water and some plants. And I walked a bit further, and there was this small pond. And I was like, oh, wow, I made it to Engedi. Look at this small pond. It's in the desert. So amazing. So like, no, keep going deeper. So I followed the trail deeper in and found a second pond with even more trees. And I was like, oh, this must be it. I'm like, no, keep going. So you walk deeper and deeper into the cliffs, into the desert. And eventually you find the waterfall, the source flowing from the rock. Just this kind of supernatural, surprising provision with trees and even flowering bushes there. And so when the name Engedi was proposed for this collective, that moment definitely stood out to me, because no matter, most of us aren't walking through a physical desert, but especially kind of in the midst of pandemic life, like this idea of looking around, seeing only bleakness and death, quite frankly, and then being able to find somewhere where you can go deeper and deeper and deeper into the unexpected until you find a source of life was just so perfect and fitting. Yes, this is it. This is what we want to provide. So yeah, I was very excited to kind of frame this work in the light of that experience.
I need to interrupt and to say, Elizabeth, you by far have the best take on Engedi, and you totally should have gone first here. And oh, by the way, we have never heard that story.
There was a lot to talk about.
I'm like, is this true? How did I not hear this before? You've been with Holden.
Amazing.
My goodness.
Look at them. You guys can work together for months and still have deeper and deeper to go and things to learn.
And I have my second part is, yeah. So my second part
there's
is
more?
Kind of the biblical. Of course, there's always, I've done more. But David mentioned it was used more than once in the Bible. And the second use of Engedi is found in the Song of Solomon. And it's used as a metaphor for the bridegroom relationship with the church. And, the bridegroom compares his bride to Engedi. And I think it's really important to not overlook the essential kind of piece to finding our calling, that is an intimate, bridal bridegroom paradigm relationship with the Lord. And the biblical metaphor and the framing for our work of this all happening in the setting of an intimate, active, vibrant, pursuing relationship with the Lord in order to find who we are and what we're meant to do, I think is also just really essential. And I'm pleased that we have that forefront and center in our name.
Well said.
Mic drop.
That's awesome. Well, now that you've painted this just beautiful imagery of kind of what Engedi is biblically and kind of some neat just backstory and like just the ways that that's personally meaningful to you guys, I would just love to hear just kind of the mission of Engedi Collective and what its intention really is, what it's designed to be, in the space that it's meant to be, for people who may be looking for an opportunity to connect.
Yeah, so the mission that we have for Engedi is to champion the callings Jesus has given us for kingdom impact in the world. And it is, Engedi is, I'd say, designed to provide a few things for people. One, of course, is a space where people who are trying to discover their calling and discover their purpose can just come and have an intentional space to process that with other people who are either trying to do the same thing or who have already kind of moved in that direction. So that's one piece of it. The other piece I'd say is for people to have more of a structure to help begin that path of what their calling and their purpose is. And so that's why we developed something called the Cohort, which is a 3-month intensive where people are meeting on a weekly, later on bi-weekly schedule with us, the leaders, and the other members of the cohort to do a few things. To first do an inventory for themselves of what God's already said, to understand more about their identity and the giftings that he's given them as a foundation, and then to be, I'd say, ministered to by other people within the cohort and the collective, and also with people who are already in their circle locally as well. One of the things that we were mentioning was how in transition, that is, you lose touch with people who have been supports for you before. And so this is a way to have people kind of with you as you're making that transition, but also still kind of connecting with people who know you maybe a little bit more personally from the past or in your current location, to help kind of speak into the things that you're learning within this cohort. And then lastly, with that information and that discovery, our goal is to help members envision what it would look like to move into that within the present, but then also what it could look like in the future as well. And once again, allowing the Lord to speak into those things. That's a pretty strong value we have of just seeking and hearing and honoring the voice of the Lord. And so with each one of those steps, we're doing that. Taking a look back to what he's already said, doing that in the present within the body, and in this case, the cohort and those to the members, and then also seeking that out for what it'll look like in the future.
Thanks, David. Yeah, anything, John or Elizabeth, that you guys want to add to that of just the kind of the mission and the vision and the calling that you that you have for this space?
I was doing paper, scissors, rock. I don't know who won because she wasn't playing, but
Elizabeth pointed.
Go for it, John. Go for it.
I have a story. I have a story. There was a bit of a stretch of time after I was done pastoring that it felt like the way I was hearing God clearest speak to me was through the show Chef's Table. So I'm not saying that's going to be for everybody, but that's just how it was working out at the time. And there was this episode of that show where this woman, who's an incredible baker and pastry chef, her name's Christina Tozzi. She started the Milk Bar in New York City, but she was just sharing about that journey of kind of being stuck in this in-between place where the people around her, who, many of them were people that really cared about her, but and who you thought would be kind of offering their unconditional support, were actually we're putting some pressure on her that was just leading her to feel like she didn't know what she was supposed to do. And if she did know what she was supposed to do, it wasn't the result of those people actually helping uncover that. In fact, they were kind of pushing back or a hindrance in some ways. And so she had her family on one side, and they were kind of like, of the mind that if you want to be a pastry chef, like the idea of being a pastry chef was like beyond them. It was like, these were the people that taught her how to cook and bake. But it was like they were of the mindset that that's what you do after work is over, and that's what it was for them. And on the other side, she had like the people in her industry, and many of them were kind of pressuring her in a different way, basically like not saying, oh, you can't do this for a living, but they were kind of saying like, oh, you know, if you want to make this a career, then you have to be serious and you have to bake a certain way, and you can't make cookies. Like, she wanted to make cookies, among other things. And so she was kind of stuck in the middle of two camps that, you know, really weren't helping her get to the bottom of this and understand it. And I remember watching the episode and hearing her share about that struggle. And I felt like it was indicative of how many Christians, where many Christians find themselves, even, you know, whether it's from family or from like church members and people in that setting who you think would be in your corner, and they probably are, but they might not, you know, in maybe in pursuing your best interest, they aren't necessarily it's not without strings attached, or without agenda, and or without, you know, just kind of being perhaps hindered by things like fear, you know, in the case of family, for example. And I just remember thinking like, gosh, that's tragic, because here we are, this idea, and this is where, you know, our mission statement, championing, Jesus's calling comes from. I mean, look, it's so important to recognize that this is, like, God is actually like our ultimate champion. Jesus himself is championing, the call that's on every one of our lives, starting with, you know, what he did at the cross and what we've become because of what he's done. And so, it's his call. And, we just realized there needs to be a space where people are coming alongside each other without agenda, without anything other than the goal to collectively, push for and pursue, the uncovering of that call, and to really to make it our purpose to see that happen for everybody that, you know, steps into this community. And so, you know, that was one of the moments I think God really spoke into, like what this could be as a way to really pursue that.
Yeah. As I was listening to John's story, I was reminded of part of our planning process. When we were working on developing and kind of forming this collective and this community, we took time to speak with people around us, with our peers or with directors of training schools and ministries, and people already working and living in this world is pursuing calling and training calling. And a common through thread that we found was this feeling of being misunderstood or not understood by the people around you. And the joy and the refreshing, you know, the oasis that was found when you had time in a group of people who were there just to understand you for you. Not to understand you in the shape of their needs or their expectations or the values of the world that don't always line up with what God has. And this is kind of particularly important when someone is in transition. So for example, I was in a ministry training program for 2 years, and everyone around me was doing the same thing. It was similar to when I was in college, and kind of everyone around me, we had the same goal. And then we all finished our programs and we moved away, and no one around us really understood, and we lost our community for the most part. And so it's very hard to sustain your growth without your community. And I think we know that in order for a calling to really be championed and for the impact to be beautiful and real and powerful and also healthy and fulfilling for you. And you have to do that in the context of a community that's there to champion you. And that is one of our driving motivations for this space and this group and the information and training that we're offering.
Thanks, Elizabeth. So I know just from my own personal experience and relationship with each of you guys, every single one of your hearts is really for the church and for the building of the church and the growth of the church. And this space is definitely not meant to take the space of a local church community and a place and an on-site community that you can really be a part of and be serving in. But really, how do you see this space kind of augmenting what the local church is? And how do you feel like that's maybe different from what kind of quote unquote standard local church community would be? Maybe John, if you'd lead us out on that one. I see you raising your hand.
Pick me. Yes. great. Well, I mean, as a, you know, as a former pastor, it feels weird to say it that way, but as someone who pastored a church for 8 years, you know, like we love the church and we, you know, and think, you know, all of us are a part of a different church community now. And so we still see the, you know, immense benefits and really the importance of that. And I remember when we were still in the early development phases for Engedi, you know, one of the places where we gathered the most, I think, insight was just from other pastors and church leaders. And so we spent some time just sitting down and talking with and interviewing local pastors in Baltimore and asking questions specifically around the area of like leadership development and equipping in the church and just to try and really gauge whether what we were aiming to do was already being done. And if so, in what way, how is it working or not? And were there opportunities to, you know, assist or frankly, were we just, trying to, reinvent the wheel? And I think those conversations really sealed for me the fact that this was an area of importance that most pastors were saying, yes, like we acknowledge this, like this is, we're trying our best to do it, but where it was easy to see that there was perhaps a lack of resources that were able to be dedicated towards, you know, developing people in a focused way in this area. So, you know, all that to say, I think for us, it showed us that this was a way we could come alongside what the local church is doing, and I think at the end of the day, this is sort of meant to be a win-win. So for anybody who's a part of Engedi, one, you're going to hear it from us numerous times, the importance of the local church and being a part of one. Like, don't make this your church community because that's not what this is. In fact, like a number of the things that we are building and will be asking for people in the collective to do are probably going to involve that church community. And then secondly, yeah, just, you know, this, I think at the end of the day, best case scenario. And if we're doing this right, I think ultimately, you will see fruit that will translate in the church for people who are part of Engedi?
Yeah, I think this is for someone who knows that there is something more that God has made them for, and that maybe doesn't know how to quite articulate what that is, but maybe hasn't found a lot of meaning or fulfillment in the place that they're currently in vocation-wise, or maybe where they're currently serving, or who does but doesn't necessarily know what it looks like to make that transition, or maybe who has made that transition but has not been able to just to sustain it. That's something that we've mentioned, that we want to deepen our understanding of our calling, but also to sustain it as well. And so I'd say this is for anyone who is trying to discover their calling, to deepen their understanding of it, or trying to sustain their calling.
I think another person that this could be for is someone who is walking in their calling or in their vocation, but is just very weary. So I think for anyone who really is feeling like they're walking through that dead desert and looking for an oasis, and that imagery of, you know, fresh water and something beautiful and green in the midst of your hard work and your toil, and if that image is resonating with you, then I think that this collective would be a place where you can find that as you continue your journey and continue to do your work.
Yeah, that's good. And can I throw one more thing in there?
Absolutely.
You know, we didn't really talk about this a whole lot, but I think a few of the things that make Engedi unique, it's, you know, there are other spaces that can help you uncover calling, but, you know, we really value things like letting the Holy Spirit lead, you know, us as a group, and, you know, whether it's a group meeting and just making space, even in the middle of having a plan, making space for the Holy Spirit to redirect things and to speak things, along those same lines, we believe that God has so much that he wants to say to us in a, not just in a generic way, but in a very specific moment by moment way. And we've encountered just how profound and impactful it can be to be a part of a group of people where everyone is believing God for that, for each other. And particularly, and this is what brought that to mind, what Elizabeth just shared, you know, particularly when you find yourself, you know, either feeling stuck or weary or worn down, and wondering, like, should I keep doing this? Like, is it worth it? You know, the difference between, a lot of times you can be in the same situation as someone else, but there's a difference between how you're responding, and it could be like a big difference between waiting and pushing forward, you know. And how do we know when to do one over the other? And I've just seen it time and again where in the context of people expecting to hear God speak, where, you know, there's been space created for that to happen. And then sure enough, God, you know, shares something or multiple somethings with someone that is the right thing at the right moment to keep them going or to shift the trajectory of things, or to provide something that wasn't there before. And I think those are some of the things that, you know, I don't necessarily think we don't have the corner market on them, but I think that there are things that are important to us, and there are things that I think make Engedi unique in how we're pursuing uncovering and sustaining calling. And so I think if you're the type of person that could benefit from that type of environment and those types of things being shared and nurtured, then this is probably a good place for you.
Another thing that makes our space unique is the people that are in it. You're not going to find this group of people anywhere else. And that is hugely important to us. And we very highly value investing in relationships and investing in each other, both kind of in all directions, in all ways. So the Engedi cohort and the collective is not just a place for you to come and receive and sit or take away things, even though you will receive, but it's also a place where you will be able to make a difference, make an impact, have a purpose for what you know, what you're sharing, even the place you are in your journey is going to make the collective something that it couldn't be without you and without your journey and without what you bring. And we care a lot about that, and we will be deliberately and intentionally investing in relationships with you and amongst the other members of the collective.
Thank you guys for sharing. So if I'm someone who is in one of these seasons that you guys have described, if you are someone who is, as you, Elizabeth and John, were just talking about, someone who's weary in the calling that they are confident in, but just are really seeking a place of rest and restoration, or someone who is unsure maybe of their calling and what the next step is, or someone who is passionate about what their calling is, but maybe needs some extra support and some extra community to really feel confident and compelled and able to move ahead tangibly. If I'm one of those people, how do I become engaged with Engedi? How do I get signed up? And what does your schedule look like in terms of the cohort, so that people who are in one of those seasons can get connected and really begin to be poured into by Engedi? What does that look like?
So we have a website,
EngediCollective.com,
and on there you can put in your information to allow us to contact you, where we can get to know you a little bit more, and essentially do a discovery call, and to hear a little bit more about your story, for you to have a little bit more of your questions asked to find out if it would be a good fit. Our first class for the cohort will be beginning in the beginning of September. And that will be running through the beginning of December.
And I can pick up on the curriculum briefly. So after your discovery call is, and this is the right time and a moment for you to join the cohort. We, as David mentioned, will be starting a 3-month intensive. And this will consist of group Zoom meetings, so you have that support of the cohort, which is a group of people going through the same process that you are right at the same time. And they'll be at varying frequencies between once a week, or bi-weekly Zoom calls as a group. You'll also have one-on-one meetings with leaders in the collective and other members of the cohort to help you grow in a more individual way. And then you'll get individual homework, you know, assignments and reflection time, so you can sit with the Lord and sit with yourself and grow on your own in between the meetings. As part of our program, we're also going to be helping you develop a community ally or two, so that you can pour into the community where you are and start developing that support locally and physically around you. And then after the 3 months, you will be officially part of the collective and you'll have that community to continue to support you in the long term and sustain the growth that you start off and kick off through the 3 months of the cohort.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for just sharing this with us and just for all of your efforts. Just, I know you've been praying into and sowing into and just really putting a lot of intentional time and effort into the building of Engedi and already holding this space before people have even jumped in yet. I just hope people know that this is a space that has been sowed into and that I know God is going to do some incredible work in. And so we encourage people check out EngediCollective.com for more information about Engedi, about the cohort schedule, and to continue learning more about Engedi Collective as it continues to grow and expand. Thank you, all of you. And we'll check in with you guys again soon about the collective happening and people and just the exciting things that God is doing.
Awesome. Sounds great. Thank you, Rebecca.
Thank you, guys.